Today, first of all, to our guests, thank you so much for being here today. I want you to know, and all of our children, this is today's message. We'll take a little bit different. It's a little bit different style, a little bit different than normal. Normally, I don't know if I do anything just normally, but this is just a little bit different today. This is very personal today. I'm going to speak to you very personally, and I just want to talk with you. And I will certainly use some scripture, but it's not the typical type of a message. I'm going to do this for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's been a lot of things happening in our church where people's lives have been intersecting, and people have been doing a lot for one another. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But I've been getting some questions here of late, and I want to address something with you about me personally, about my wife and me. And kind of help you. Let me just make a couple of statements. First of all, I want you to know that I am here for life. I am here for life. Now, what I mean by that is, well, thank you. What I mean by that is, obviously, if God overwhelmingly moves us, which I don't believe he has any interest in doing, and all of that, but we're here for life. Our plan is to live here, and I want to catch the same bus at the rapture with you all. All right, I want us to all kind of get on the same bus, and we're all going to go at the same time, because you are my family, you are our family, and we feel that way, and so on. My wife and I are getting, the second reason is we're getting ready to leave for once a year or once every 2 years. My wife and I take a vacation, and that's what we're getting ready to do. We'll be leaving late tonight. I will not be here this coming Wednesday or this following Sunday, and even the Wednesday after that, because we have a couple of days of driving time, and you will be well taken care of. This coming Wednesday, Robert is going to be speaking, and he will be teaching on Wednesday evening. And then next Sunday morning, Billy will be filling the pulpit for the message. And then the following Wednesday, and I'm really, really excited about this, because this person's never done this before. But I really felt very strongly that God wanted this. And Stephen Cook, who is obviously a rising leader. I mean, I think we can all see that as he leads us in worship. He is going to be doing the teaching on the following Wednesday. So I'm really, really excited about that, and my wife and I are looking forward to getting away. But I want you to know I'm here for life, and I'm fairly reasonably healthy, so there's no reason for me to for anybody to think that we won't be here because of that. But I also want you to know I'm very, very happy. I'm very, very happy. Again, I'm asking you to give me a little latitude. I want to speak very personally to you. I could not be happier. I had a conversation this week with somebody who sadly we were talking about is actually somebody who's entering into ministry, and there's so much out there, and some of you may be aware of there's, especially through COVID. COVID had a lot of churches shut down. A lot of churches went through very, very difficult times, and they didn't stay open, and they're struggling to get back and struggling to get people back, and it's been very discouraging for a lot of pastors. Pastors have left the ministry in droves, and in the last couple of years, and frankly, there's a lot of unhappiness and unrest out there, and I just want you to know, I don't have any of that. I don't have any of that. I am as happy as I think I could ever possibly be in this world to pastor this church, and I want you to know why. That's my today. I want to just share with you. I'm going to talk to you. I will use some scripture, but I just want you, my church family, to know why I am so happy, why I have no desire to even consider going somewhere else. And the third reason that I'm sharing this is because, for some reason, I have been questioned about this probably 7 or 8 times in the last 2 months. I've had some folks that have asked me, are you looking to maybe, would you? And I hope I'm not doing anything to make you think that. But there have been people that have just made some comments. I know some of you have talked to each other about, what do we, we need to make sure this doesn't happen, that sort of thing. And I appreciate it. It's all done very, very complimentary. All those comments are very complimentary. Again, I don't know what's driving that, so I want to address that. And especially when I'm getting ready to leave, I don't want anybody to think that. Look, I am going on vacation. Okay. I am not going to another church. My wife and I, God, just be honest with you, my wife and I would probably just have church by ourselves in the mountains, in a cabin, just the two of us and Jesus. All right? So that's not where I'm going. But perhaps there are some of you that are aware of the things going on in Christianity right now, with many churches looking to move on to greener pastures instead of just working the pasture where they are. That is not us. Perhaps there are some of you that are, some of you do know, I try to be accountable to our deacon board, and they're aware that I, you know, 2, 3, 4 times a year, I get contacted by other ministries around the country and I'm asked to through various sources to maybe consider that. And we don't consider that. So again, I just want you to know this. Now, none of those things are factors for us. We have no desire to look for what many would consider to be bigger ministries or more influence, things like that. In fact, I want to show you exactly why we have no desire to go anywhere. And the reason that we have no desire to go anywhere, the reason we are both as happy as we can be, is because I actually have something as a pastor that the Apostle Paul did not have. And I'm going to show you very clearly what he said. I have something that Paul was the greatest Christian in the New Testament, right? I mean, Jesus was not a Christian because he is Christ. So after him, I think Paul probably would be considered to be, you know, the greatest Christian. And, you know, he obviously wrote most of the New Testament. So I want to show you a verse that it's really very sad, because the Apostle Paul was talking to the church at Philippi, the Philippians. You know it as the book of Philippians. And he was explaining to them how he was hoping to send Timothy to them because he couldn't get there himself. He said, I want to be with you. I want to see you. I want to hug you. He wanted to do what I get to do every Sunday morning right out here. This is why I greet you all. I want to be the first person you see, and I want to greet you at your car as best I can. For those of you who sneaked in somehow this morning and I didn't get to see, I don't know what that was all about. I don't know how that happened, but I try to greet you. But he didn't get to do this. He couldn't go in person. He wanted to send Timothy, and I'll show you why. And why he was so brokenhearted. In Philippians chapter number 2, notice verse number 20. Look at what he said. I think this is one of the saddest things he probably ever had to write. He said, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. This verse has been burning in my heart and my spirit for about a month now. As I was preparing, I knew we were going to be gone for 10 days. And I am so thankful. And I can't tell you how many times I've told God, God, I thank you so much that's not me. I thank you so much that is not my situation, where I have no man like-minded or no person like-minded. I got a whole church full of people who are like-minded. I've got bunches of, he didn't have anybody. He didn't have anybody to send to the church at Philippi. I have a hard time choosing who is going to step in and feed you, because there are so many capable people in this room. I mean, there are men and women in this room that are just some of the most remarkable Christians, and I mean gobs of them. And so it is not the case where I could stand and say I don't have anybody like-minded. There are people who love each other the same way I love you. Why would I ever leave that? Why would I ever want to leave that? So Paul is writing here in verse number 21. He went on. He said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." If I've ever been a part of a ministry from the time I was a child all the way up until I am now 57 years young, and I know one of the things you're so grateful for is that you have a young pastor. Good looking. I know that. I get it. Please, you know, please hold that back, because, you know, that can go to my head if we're not careful. That's enough. Put your hand down, Sherry. But this is not the case here. You know, it's, you don't seek your own. Yesterday was a perfect example of that. Laura, I loved your testimony. This is what I was going to say here a little bit ago. Yesterday was a perfect example. I watched as so many of you, you're carrying chairs for the folks who struggle to carry chairs. You're going and get water for people. You're, you know, just serving each other and helping each other, not to mention all the people who worked the entire day to put that on. It was just a wonderful thing. There were times when I would just step back and I just watched. The band wanted to talk to me about a couple of things after the concert, and I was standing there and I felt bad because I'm watching so many bodies scrambling all over this property to take down the tent, to carry chairs and carry cleanup tables and all these things, and you're all doing all of this on your own, taking care of people, walking some of our elderly to their cars, and making sure everybody had everything that they needed. And that's a perfect example of what we're talking about. And it didn't make any difference who it was. It was just whether it was guests or whether it was our church members. And again, I say, why would I ever want to leave that? You know, this kind of concept, I believe it was so sad. Can we go back to verse 20? I just want you to see these words again of Paul. For him to have to say, I don't have anyone who's like-minded. What he was saying was, I don't have anybody who will love you like I love you. I don't have anybody who will care for you the way I care for you. I won't have anybody who will take care of you the way that... And so it was a burden to him, and he was so sad about it, and I think it's just a terrible thing. And I thank God that that is not the case I have here. I got a whole church full of people who love each other the way that I love you. I used to want to feel better about myself and say, no, I love you the way nobody else can. And I think there's a different love that God may give to a pastor. But the truth of the matter is, you love each other the same way that I love you. And I love you for that. You know, it starts with our leadership. It starts with our leaders, but it's the same throughout the church body. You know, for example, a week from today, Billy Ewing will stand right here where I am, and he will preach a message to you. And of course, it will be a different style. He'll use a different approach. You know, we're different people, and he will present it in a different way. Maybe present it with a different way of doing it. But I absolutely know that he will stand here and whatever he presents to you, he will present to you with the same love in his heart for you that I have. I know he loves you the same way I do. He loves you the way I do. And so I don't have this. I don't have to stand here and say, God, there's nobody that will love them, nobody that will care about them. You know, you can fill a pulpit with anybody. You understand that, right? Anybody can fill a pulpit, but not just anybody will stand here and with a heart full of love, a genuine love, and pour it out to you. You know, that's for anybody who fills the pulpit. I was just thinking about that, and Paul just didn't have that. But you know, Billy's the chairman of our deacon board. You know, the chairman of most deacon boards, it's a power thing, and I shouldn't say most. Many that I'm familiar with. You know what a deacon's meeting is like around here? We had a deacon's meeting just a couple of nights ago. You know, most deacon's meetings, it's all about power struggles. It's all about whose ministry is most important and who needs to get more funding, and it's all about money and all these kind of things. You know what a deacon's meeting is around here? It's a bunch of losers. No, it's it's about how can we serve these people better. I promise you that's true. That is the conversation, isn't it? I mean, it is a conversation about what are we doing? How are we doing? How are we taking care of people? What can we do better? How can we meet the needs of people better? That is all we ever talk about at deacons' meetings. If we have to talk about, you know, we're going to put some new steps in today. Howard, I saw you pull in. We're going to replace these steps going down to the basement, by the way, today. They're going to get jackhammered out. We're going to haul all that out. The Hispanic church that meets here on Saturday is going to do all the labor for us. How about that? And there's going to be a brand new set of stairs. You'll be able to go down those stairs very, very, it's going to be a wonderful thing. When we have to deal with something like that, it's like, let's hurry up and talk about this, get it over with so we can get back to talking about how to serve people. And I love you, deacons, for that. Thank you for that. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. So what kind of a foolish pastor would I be to go somewhere else? I mean, what kind of fool? I may be a fool in some ways. But I think I've heard. Really? I know. That's the only time he can get the word amen out. I may be dumb, but I'm not an idiot. You know, I wouldn't leave something like that. I would never want to have a different situation than that. And it's not just our deacons. It's the leaders of different ministries here that all have this same concept. In fact, let me show you what they understand. They understand something that Jesus said. Jesus said in John chapter number 10, Jesus was talking about, he was talking about the shepherd. He was using the illustration. You've heard many times he talked about, you know, the word shepherd appears a lot. 23rd Psalm, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, all that. Jesus was teaching about that because this is something that people in the Bible days understood very, very well. They knew what shepherds do. And here he makes this statement. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But then he draws a contrast between a shepherd and something called an hireling. So notice what he said next. He said, but he that is an hireling. In other words, you've got a shepherd here, you've got a hireling. What's a hireling? A hireling is somebody who is paid to watch those sheep. Somebody who is paid to take care of those sheep. And he said, so in other words, maybe a shepherd has multiple flocks and he can't be two places at once. So he is watching one of his flocks here, but he has to hire someone. He has to hire a substitute shepherd to watch these flocks. Now notice what he said. He said, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep or not, sees the wolf coming. And what does he do? He runs away. You know why? Because they're not his sheep. He's just paid to be there. And he's like, that's not worth me sacrificing my life for these sheep. So he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. And then verse 13, he said, the hireling flees because he's a hireling and cares not for the sheep. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make that Jesus was teaching. He said, there's a difference between someone who feels like this is their sheep and somebody who's just there because they're being paid to, or because there's something in it for them, or because they get, there's just something in it for them. So we make that extension then. There's a difference between people who get involved in ministry, people who do things in the church and in ministry and for people because they love them, because they see them as their family, versus somebody who's in it for something for themselves. See, and these and the leaders here, the people that are ministering here. Well, let me just give an example. Robert doesn't get paid to be here an hour and a half before every church service and stay an hour and a half after every church service, or anybody else who works back in the sound booth or our worship teams. They don't get paid to do that. It's not a glory thing. They're not uplifted as wonderful people. They're not bragged about. We don't. There's nothing. They really don't get much for that. So why do they do it? Why do they come in an hour and a half before every church service? Why are they here every week at 8:30, and why do they stay until 1 o'clock every week? Because you're their family. You're their church. And they see you as their church, and they're dedicated to that. And that is what Jesus is trying to say, look, if you want to be like me, you've got to have that kind of an attitude. It's about what you give. Yesterday was a wonder. And look, I'm telling you, if you weren't here yesterday, you missed some amazing music. But let's be honest, that's not everybody's kind of music. Not everybody. Not everybody was here yesterday because they wanted a free meal and a free concert. There were some of you, you came even though it wasn't really what you wanted to, it's not what your first choice was, but you are a true follower of Jesus Christ because you were here to serve the people who were here. Amen. You want to know a true follower of Jesus? A true follower of Jesus doesn't come to church for what they get. They come to what they can give. Come for what they can give. Now, please don't be offended if that's not, you say, well, I come here because I enjoy it and all that. That's great, and I want it to always be like that, and I want to provide things for people that they want. But the truth of the matter is, true followers of Jesus do what they do because they want to serve, they want to help, they want to be a blessing to somebody. They're not always focused just on what they get from it. That's the difference between a shepherd and a hireling. And so I thought about some folks in our church. It's not for the glory that happens here. I mentioned Robert. I don't want to start talking about too many names, but that's how it is. You got Joe back here Joe, I cannot tell you. Look, those of you that know, Joe is sort of my source for knowing what's happening in many of your lives. You know why? Because he's a gossip. No, he's not. Because he's calling you. He's visiting you. We were talking this morning, and it came up that he was at Herman and Joanna's house until 10 o'clock the other night. And I would imagine they went to bed at 8, but I don't know why Joe stayed there. But they got cable. It's just all the time. He's always the first one here. Always first one here, always the last one to leave. This is just how, this is what you get from your leaders. This is the kind of thing you have from your leaders. But it begins to filter down. Jennifer is the leader of our children's ministry, and Jennifer's taken how many turns with the kids this month? Two? And and always that way. I love our kids. Kids, I love you. And by the way, you kids are doing a great job. Amen. Those of you that are still awake. And don't feel bad. We got adults asleep too. It's okay. It's a great place to take a nap. What was I talking about? Speaking of kids, I love our kids. I love our kids. But I don't love them any more than Jennifer does and her team. And I don't love them any more than Mauricio does and his team. And I don't love them any more than Billy does and his team. How many chairmen of the deacon board do you think there are that take a weekly time in the kids' church and also take a weekend every month to clean the building? How many do you think there is like that? Like, those of you who've been in church a while, you know that's pretty unusual. And I don't want to make this about Billy. He'll get a big head too. We already have big heads, don't we, Billy? Billy and I have these balls for heads, you know. But listen, seriously, that's what you see. That's what you're looking at, and it filters its way out. And Josh and Misha couldn't be here today, but that's their attitude. These are the people that work with our children, and then there's those who clean on Saturdays. And Rick, I don't even know who they all are, but you've got these crews that come in here on Saturdays and they clean, and they're so flexible. They're willing to work around the Hispanic church that's meeting, and they do all those things. And then of course Rick, all the things that you do, and we don't even know. Know what all you do, but here all the time and working all the time, and all the people that are helping, and so many of you have jumped in to help him with that, and what a blessing that is. We have those on security, and by the way, Danielle, it's good to have you back with us today. She's sitting down on the job. She just had knee surgery, but Danielle, it's wonderful to have you back, and we missed you while you had to be away. But all of our security workers, and listen, you understand this is not just something. In today's world, you know that churches are a little, it's a little dangerous right now. Yes. There are factions in our society that don't like what happens in good churches. They don't like it. They don't like what's going on. But they're willing to stand out here and stand between us and danger. And I thank you all for that. And then we have those that work on our bus and that take the bus out every day. It's wonderful to have people who care, who will get on here. Winter's coming. Winter's coming, and that bus is going to be cold. And they will show up here, and they will get that bus warmed up, and they'll get that thing out there, and they will pick up the people that want to be here and so forth. And I could go on and on and on, our worship teams and our sound booth. And that's just in church time. And outside of that, the men's group has been helping people in their homes, and there's more of that. And if you need some things done at your home, there are people that want to help with all of those things. Laura's out visiting people that don't even come to our church anymore because they can't and all those kind of things. I wouldn't trade all that for anything material in this world. I wouldn't trade all that as a pastor for anything in this world. I have a pastor friend. I'm going to find a place to set this thing down. But I have a pastor friend recently that asked me a question. And he's a good man. He's probably a better man than I am. But he asked me a question recently, and he was talking about. In fact, his question was something like. But don't you think that after all that you've been through, after 9 years here and working so hard, don't you think you've earned the right to maybe look for something better? And I said, well, let me tell you two things. First of all, I don't think I've earned what I have. And secondly, I don't think there is anything better. I don't think there is anything better. I don't think there could be a group of people that want what Jesus wants more than this body of believers. Amen. And I feel like you prove that over and over and over. And so I hope that puts to rest any thoughts that any of you might have that Tammy would ever want to go anywhere else. I promise you, Tammy and I promise you, we will give you 100% all year long. We'll miss you this next week, and we are going to take some time for ourselves. The rest of the time, I promise you that we will give you all that we have. But I have no concerns whatsoever that there are people here who will take care of you while we're away. I know that's true. And so let me give you one last thing here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I just want you to notice this, and I'm going to bring this to a close here. Paul, again, writing to the church of Corinth, he said, there should be no schism in the body. That means a division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. Do you see that?
Amen.
The members should have the same care one for another. Same care as what? Same care as the pastor has. Same care as the deacons have. Same care as the other leaders have. Same care as you have for one. He said, you should just all care about each other the same. And it shouldn't matter who somebody is. Shouldn't matter what color their skin is. Shouldn't matter what their, you know, what their preferences are in life. All those things shouldn't matter. Should be no schism. And then whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Whether one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I love the fact that you rejoiced when I told you about Rick Kalura being inducted into the hall. We all celebrate that, right? Just like we celebrate when somebody gets free of heroin, somebody gets free of alcohol, somebody gets free of some addiction, just like somebody who gets released from prison and we welcome them back in with open arms, just like when somebody, just like when there's a divorce that comes in between two people and yet those two members can still come to the same church. Hallelujah goes there. We have that here. This is a bizarre place. It really is. Look, when ladies can come in here and ask us to rejoice with them because they are free of prostitution, they feel free enough to say something like that in church, you got something special going on. And when divorces can happen within the church and people can even get remarried and they can fellowship together and be best friends even and be friends together and be, look, that is so unusual that happens here. And that doesn't mean I want you to get divorced. Don't be looking around here. Don't be looking around saying, well, I think I could trade up, you know. No, you can't. No, you can't. Fellas, go look in the mirror. You're not going to trade up. But the point is, he said, you should have the same care one for another. One member, be honored. All members rejoice with it. Lastly, verse number 27. He said, because now, when you do that, he said, now you're the body of Christ. Now you're the body of Christ. When that's the attitude you have, when that's how it works in your church, you are truly acting like the body of Christ, even though your members in particular, we're all different. We're all different. But boy, he brings us together in a perfect way. But the last thing is, each one of you who have come over the last 9 years, our church is about 9.5 years old. Each one of you who have come over the last 9 years, you've made it better, not just bigger. We started off with a handful of people. But those of you who have come since then, Julie, I remember when you brought your family. And you made this place better. You know, I remember when some of you came. I remember, you know, Jennifer came. I think you were the first one. And then you brought this whole bunch. And we love most of them. You know what I mean? You know which ones I'm talking about. No. I remember those things. I remember when you all started coming. And you made it better. So let's get out in this community and let's keep making it better. Let's keep bringing people in to make it better in addition to bigger. Thank you. Thank you for letting me pastor this church. Thank you for letting me pastor you. And thank you for loving me the way I love you. And thank you for loving each other. And I promise you, my wife and I, we don't want to go anywhere else. We want to stay right here and continue to love you and minister to you and serve you with all of our lives.
Amen.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks. I love you. Not really sure what kind of an invitation to have here, but we always have an invitation here. I want you to know, maybe this is it. Maybe you've never felt this kind of a family feel. This is not the only good church, by the way, and we've got a long way to go. We're constantly asking God to help us correct the things that are wrong here because we know that we're not right in every area. Please know that. Please don't take this as an arrogant thing at all. We know we are nowhere near what we're supposed to be for Jesus, but we're trying. We're trying. But if you want to be a part of something like that, and maybe you're a guest, or maybe you just sort of kind of on the, I want you to know, this is a place where you are loved for who you are, because Jesus loves you for who you are. He loves you exactly the way you are. Jesus loves us all the way we are, right? Just as we are. He just doesn't want any of us to stay the way we are. He wants us all to continue to get better. That's our first principle right out here. But I want you to know, maybe you want to make this church part of your home. Make this family part of your family. And we certainly want that. We want you to be a part of our family. But can I then throw out a challenge for the rest of us? Let's first of all, let's find folks that need a family like this and bring them in here. Bring them in. Invite them. Most of the time, the reason people give for not coming to church is because nobody invited them. But beyond that, let's make each other family. Let's continue to take care of one another, take care of each other. When you see a need somebody has, please continue to meet that need. And I love you so very, very much.